The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Yeah. Mixed martial arts.
UFC.
Mixed martial arts.
Bellator.
Mixed martial arts.
UK.
And bare knuckle fighting! Woo! Gosh. Well, hello there, everybody. As you can see, we are excited for a very busy Saturday in combat sports, and that poses the question, what's better than one event, two events, and even better than that, three events. And we're going to discuss all three of those events this week on our live preview show on MMAfighting.com. We'll be getting you ready for UFC Vegas 48, Bellator 274, and BKFC's Knuckle Mania 2, plus we'll answer your questions to wrap things up at the tail end of this. Welcome, everybody. I am Mike Heck. Thanks for checking us out, however you are doing so. And it's a tripod this week as I'm being joined by my wonderful colleagues over at MMAfighting.com. We got Jose Youngs. We got AK Lee. We have a lot to get to, gentlemen, so let's get right into this. Jose, we'll begin with you, and we'll begin with UFC Vegas 48. Look, would this have been a better card on paper with the Rafael Dos Anjos, Rafael Fiziev main event? Of course it would, but still, interesting main event is in store for us tomorrow at the Apex at 205 pounds with Johnny Walker taking on Jamahal Hill. Face-off was pretty testy, and if you look at this card as a whole, it's not bad at all coming off of UFC 271, right? There's some pretty interesting fights on here.
There's some interesting names that I'm really looking forward to. There's not a lot of like fights where both dance partners really intrigue me. But like you said, that main event, the original main event between RDA and Rafael Fiziev, that was, I don't care if that was the only fight on a, that could have been a one fight card. Like, that is how badly I wanted that fight to happen. I mean, it's still happening. We just have to wait a bit, but that fight got my blood boiling. I was so excited for that. This new main event is fine. It's fine. Not the best in terms of like, it's fine. It's, and there's a lot of interesting names on this card, but I'm depressed we have to wait longer for Rafael Fiziev versus Rafael Dos Anjos. Rafael on Rafael, loser changes his name to Randy.
Okay, what's the old gymnastics scale telling you? UFC Vegas 48.
God, it's not good. It's not good. Listen, we had a debate recently over some of the recent cards, for which I was defending, you know, I stand by, you know, what I said about, I think the Strickland Hermanson card, I thought it was strong on paper, and I thought it played out pretty well, other than the last two fights being kind of dull. But and Casey was kind of, our producer Casey was kind of asking me, like, what is a bad card? Are there no bad cards? This is a bad card. With, as always, with respect to the fighters involved, with respect to all the people who put in the hard work to have to like put this fight together, from the, you know, the people at the UFC to the managers and everyone, all due respect, of course. But I mean, if we're being objective, if we're telling people who, you know, maybe need to be judicious with their time, whether they need to carve out a lot of that for this particular card, I would lean towards no. And we'll talk about some of the angles today. There's certainly stuff worth watching. But if you want an example of where I draw the line, where the Prince of Positivity is willing to say a card is, you know, subpar, I think this is a subpar card, especially given given some of the fights that were lost on it.
All right. So what's the number?
It's like a five. It's like a no. And any card at this level has the potential for some sort of chaos. A six. I'll go six. I'll say if everything goes right, I think you're aiming at a 6, 6.5. This is if everything goes right. We have a corker of a main event. You know, there's a bunch of good finishes, like a 6, 6.5. But otherwise, I mean, really, this is, look, there's a lot of quality regional cards out there that can put on lineups very similar to this one. So I would say if you enjoy watching stuff like this, there's a lot of good regional MMA that's also going on Fight Pass and sometimes just for free that you should check out. So 6, 6.5.
And we get two cards that we're going to be talking about on the show as well. Let's talk about Walker versus Hill, AK, because the winner might actually earn themselves a spot in the rankings that matter most, AK, the MMA Fighting Global Rankings. Neither of them are on there now. Both got votes for February. But Walker really needs a win here. He's coming off a loss. He's lost three of his last four, and he's fighting a guy in Jamal Hill that is super dangerous and someone that seems to be getting better and better with each fight. Yeah, he had the loss to Paul Craig. It's kind of a weird one, but people see a lot in Jamal Hill because he's a huge betting favorite heading into tomorrow night. So what stands out to you about this new main event?
Like you said, look, these are two guys who still would not shock me if they became relevant fighters in the light heavyweight division. It's not that long ago that Johnny Walker was being viewed. I don't know if you'll remember, people were talking about Johnny Walker like, oh, Could the guy challenge John Jones someday? You know, he got like two big knockouts. People liked his personality, his physical abilities. People could see him in there with like a John Jones, saying like, okay, like it's not a mismatch size wise. And people like that. Then reality hits. You get some tough fights. You get some tough matchups. You get some tough losses. And suddenly he's not even in our rankings anymore. As you said, he's now a fighter who also received votes. Jamal Hill is also in that category, but is heading in the opposite direction. Fight finisher. Again, physically, we see someone who we like. We like their chances of hanging with the top of the division. So there is that intrigue there. And I would not count out Johnny Walker. He's lost three of his last four. Again, the hype has certainly died down. Our expectations have become a little bit more realistic. But it's not like this is a guy who was like, oh, well, we've seen his best. There's no chance he's going to reach that peak. I don't know if we even saw his best. The best could be yet to come. But it has to start with a quality performance against Jamal Hill. Because the fight with Thiago Santos was it was like the worst kind of loss you can have. He not only lost, but it wasn't entertaining. And that's just a disastrous for a guy like Johnny Walker. So this has to be exciting. It has to, even if it's a decision, it has to be somewhat dominant, I think. I think competitive would be good, but it has to be convincing. Otherwise, one of these guys will not be receiving votes, most likely, in the MMA Fighting Global Rankings after this weekend.
Jose, what do you think? And I'm looking at the betting lines right now. Jamal Hill, a -240 favorite coming off of the knockout win over Jimmy Crute. Are you surprised by how big of a favorite he is in this fight?
No, because what Johnny Walker's lost, what, three of four against pretty high-level competition? And, the Paul Craig fight, he snapped his arm in half. But Jamal Hill is been pretty violent lately, and I think the build that he's been on has been appropriate. He hasn't taken that massive jump up in competition. It's like he's taking one step at a time, unlike Johnny Walker, who's just kind of thrown into Corey Anderson because the UFC was really high on him, and he got pretty soundly beaten in Madison Square Garden. But knocking out Ovin St. Preux, and I'm looking at Jamal Hill's Wikipedia right now because I wanted to remember how fast that knockout was, because I remember it was under a minute. Someone has edited the Jimmy Crute fight result to be knockout by murder in 48 seconds. So that should tell you how violent that knockout was. So Jamal Hill's the man. He talks a good game, has awful tattoos, so he fits right in for the UFC light heavyweight division. So I'm not surprised at all that he is such a betting favorite, considering their recent performances, because like Thiago is an incredibly high level martial artist, and Johnny Walker put on kind of a dud performance, which I didn't think was possible against Thiago Santos.
AK, Jamal Hill is 30 years of age, and like both of you sort of alluded to, it seems like his career is just getting started in a way, despite being a year older than Johnny Walker. But like Jose just said, he comes into the UFC on a rocket ship. He gets three quick finishes. Then they throw him in there with Corey Anderson. We know what happened at MSG. Then he loses the decision to Nikita Krylov in a fight I will never forget for hilarious reasons. Knocks out Ryan Spann, and then he had the not-so-fun fight, the loss to Thiago Santos. Is this a must-win? Are we in must-win territory for Johnny Walker here? Because it certainly is compared to Jamahal Hill, I would say.
Yeah, if we're talking must-win as far as could he potentially see a release with a loss, I actually do think so. I do think, again, we don't know exactly what Johnny Walker's getting paid. He could be on the lower end of the scale there, which would benefit him, as obviously as far as going forward with the UFC. But I would imagine that they're at least somewhat invested in him. And another loss, I mean, there's just... As shallow as light heavyweight is, I don't know if this a loss to Jamahal Hill, even a quick one, necessarily gets him a release. But I mean, it puts him right on that door. I mean, it puts him at least one away, if not that. But it wouldn't surprise. I don't think it would surprise anybody if he lost at 4 out of 5 and the UFC just cut ties. I don't think it'd surprise anybody at all. We'd have to know again what his contract status is, because if it is close to the end of his contract, again, if there's only one left, they might just give him another one. But otherwise, you know, extension talks are going to get killed by it. It's really tough. So I do call this a must win for Johnny Walker, not so much for Jamahal Hill. 30 years young, I like to say. Yes, I know he's, like you said, a little bit older than just 1 year older than Johnny Walker, but still young, a fresh face, only his 12th pro bout. So he feels new. He feels like there's still a lot of untapped potential there. I think Johnny Walker has that. I don't know if the UFC matchmakers and the fans feel the same way, which sounds extremely harsh, but again, once you reach this level, you're just under the microscope and every loss means so much. So 4 out of 5, and the way you lose as well. Again, the Thiago Santos fight, just so forgettable. So 4 out of 5, he has to avoid that. This is a must win for Johnny Walker.
What do you think about that, Jose? Because I'm listening to AK and I keep thinking to myself, well, he may not be wrong. We live in a world where Glover Teixeira is the light heavyweight champion of the world. So we are in a... Mm-hmm. You know, never say never type of world in the UFC and in mixed martial arts. But obviously for the relevancy scale, you have to believe this is a must win for Johnny Walker. But is it that dire? Could we be looking at maybe his final UFC fight for the foreseeable future if he goes out there and lays a dud tomorrow against Jamahal Hill?
I think laying a dud would definitely, if there's like a meter, it would definitely push the meter towards a higher chance of release. Because like this kind of reminds me of like, remember when Shogun fought Brandon Vera on that main event of UFC on Fox? A lot of people was like, is this do or die for Brandon Schaub? Is he fighting for his job? Like, will he not be with the UFC if he loses? And then that fight was epic. And then I remember Dana White being at that press conference to be like, yeah, Brandon Vera's job is safe. Just because of how good that he might have lost, but that fight was so good that we're going to give him like more chances. So if Johnny Walker goes out there and just has like a back and forth war with Jamahal Hill, which by all accounts, probably won't happen for either men because they're both big finishers, but that could surprise me. Or if it's like a controversial decision, I bet they give him one more shot, maybe two, but if he goes out there and gets 50-45s, uninspiring is the word I guess I'll use, then I wouldn't be surprised, because we live in a world where the UFC doesn't seem to have a role for Alistair Overeem or Junior Dos Santos or Yoel Romero or Anthony Johnson. And those are four bigger names than Johnny Walker. So ask me in the post show and I'll probably have a better answer.
Fair enough. Time for picks. I personally have had two pretty good weeks with my picks. Thinking a little bit outside the box for some of these and coming up heck. So we'll start with you, Jose. Who gets this one done, Johnny Walker or Jamahal Hill?
I'm going to pick Jamahal Hill solely because I've picked against Jamahal Hill his last three fights, and he has proven me wrong in two of them. I mean, the Paul Craig fight was a pretty good fight until he just got caught, and Paul Craig is kind of operating on a completely different level right now. So I think when I was picking that fight, when I picked him to win, that was the case. But if they rematched again, I think that's a 50-50 fight at this point. I thought Jimmy Crute was going to not tear through Jamahal Hill. I just thought Jimmy Crute was a better fighter, and we saw what happened. Jamahal Hill murdered him. I thought Ovin St. Preux was a better fighter, and Jamahal Hill ran through him and the like. So he keeps proving me wrong. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. I think Jamahal Hill gets it done. I think it'll be probably similar to the Corey Anderson knockout. I don't think it's going to be a knockout. It might be a TKO, maybe a standing TKO. But I think Jamahal Hill gets it done.
I'm going, like Jose, I have been weirdly skeptical of Jamal Hill for some reason. And I think I'm pretty sure I've always picked against him. But as you guys know, sorry, guys, my sound scrambled over here. As you guys know, I'm an idiot. And I don't learn things. So I'm going against Jamal Hill again. I am picking Johnny Walker. I think Johnny Walker is going to surprise him. I want to believe that the Thiago Santos performance was an aberration. It was, you know, whatever. He's changed camps, perhaps not for the better, but maybe he just needed some adjustment. I think I like that he's fought slightly better competition, a bit higher level than Jamal Hill. So I'm giving him the edge here, and I think he is going to catch Jamal Hill and knock him out. I don't feel super confident about it, but I feel like Johnny Walker, you know, wounded animal, he's cornered, he needs this win, and I think that pushes him to one on Saturday.
I just don't really see much of a gray area here. This has all the makings of a firefight, and on paper, it should absolutely be that way, but sometimes these Johnny Walker fights can get slowed down and be not all that enthralling. So this is either going to be really exciting or really awful. I don't see the latter happening. So I'm going to stay positive and say it will be a firefight. But unfortunately for one Johnny Walker, that's not his best path to victory. So I think Jamal Hill gets a first round knockout. I'll say before the midway point of round one. I think it's a very quick main event, and I think Jamal Hill lands a big shot and puts Johnny Walker away. So co-main event is Kyle Daukaus versus Jamie Pickett, but we'll see if we'll see if that actually is a co-main event, because if we don't see both fighter entrances on the broadcast, then it doesn't pass the test. It is Parker Porter fight week. Takes on Alan Bodeau. The ageless Jim Miller is fighting Nicholas Mota, who makes his UFC debut. And we got Joaquin Buckley with Commander Dale Brown in his corner taking on Abdul Razak Al-Hassan to kick off the main card. And I feel like no one's talking about that fight, but that is actually happening. Some interesting fights, Jose. What's flying under the radar for you? What do you got your eye on?
On the main card or just the card in general?
The card in general.
I mean, I think you nailed it. Like the Joaquin Buckley, Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, like that fight, someone's going to bed in that fight. I think we talk a lot about fights that should kick off main card, should be on the co-main event. Like what's the best spot? Like I think Buckley Al-Hassan is a perfect fight to kick off a main card in ESPN Plus. I mean, Buckley is obviously famous for like those violent knockout wins. I think he was our 2020 knockout of the year. If I remember correctly, Kanye West made a music video to his knockout. I've never been really high on Al-Hassan as like an MMA fighter, but the dude's obviously violent and has dynamite in his hands and feet. I'm pretty sure he knocked out Alessio Dechirico with a head kick, and Alessio Dechirico knocked out Joaquin Buckley with a head kick. So the battle of who's better than Alessio Dechirico apparently is happening to kick off the main card tomorrow. So I think that fight is a perfect fight, and someone's going to sleep. And I would be remiss if I didn't shout out. I don't think anyone's going to – I'm not saying to tune in for this fight, but Dana Bobita, fellow weeb, huge fan. Go watch her fight.
Prepping Canada.
AK. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes. What do you got, AK?
First of all, let me say – I don't care. This is not that Pickett Daukaus thing is not a co-main event. I don't care if we see their entrances. I don't care if it gets the full ESPN promo treatment and Ron Perlman's voice graces their video package. I don't care. Good for Jamie Pickett for taking this fight on short notice. I'm glad both guys agreed to make this a catch weight. It could be a fun fight. Kyle Daukaus, I think, is a talented guy. This is not a you could call it whatever you call it, the second last fight, call it penultimate. I think that's a fun word. I think if you want to call it what it is, it's not a co-main. It's not, there's nothing. I feel like these words have to mean something. At least there has to be some luster to it. This fight is just happens to be the one that falls a second to last in the order. And that's great, I suppose, for Kyle Daukaus and Jamie Pickett, but no one knows that it's not being hyped as a co-main event. So what is the value of it? I'm not calling it a co-main event. Respect to both guys. I'm not calling it Coleman. Fights I'm looking out for. You know what? I'm really invested in a little bit in Chaz Skelly. Chaz Skelly, it's supposedly going to be his last fight. I don't think he's confirmed it. I remember when the fight was put together, I think he had said that he'd expect this to be his last fight. I understand. He's 36. He'll be 37 in May. He's dealt with a lot of injuries in his career. He's had a lot of weird instances in his career that have probably cost him money. And let's never forget the Jamal Emmers, Jose Young's axiom proving, you know, that fights are not official until both guys are in the cage. I cannot imagine Chad Skelly like having to go through full training. That is an incident that probably had him questioning, how much more do I want to go on with this? How much more can I go on with fighting? Like, this is, I believe he did get his show and win money, thankfully. But even then, just all the preparation. And these guys like to fight too. So doing all that and not getting the satisfaction of getting to compete, it's just really, really tough on him. And he's just been around for a long time, been in some really, really tough fights too. It's not like he's had this career where he's escaped damage. He's been in some really, really difficult fights. So I'm excited for that. I think they've given him a good matchup, a favorable one for him to potentially go out on with Mark Striegel. So I'll call that the sleeper. Again, I think Jose said it best at the beginning of the show. There's a lot of fights where I'm maybe kind of invested in one half of the matchup and not so much the other. But again, that's the case of, you know, there's a lot of late replacements. So I like Mark Striegel too. I just think this is kind of a good farewell fight for Skelly. And I think he's going to get the win here and give us a nice little moment on the prelims.
I mean, Jose's right. The correct answer is Buckley Alassane. If we're all being honest with ourselves, that is the, oh yeah, fight on this card for sure. But I'll dig a little deeper. It's David Onama versus Mowgli Benitez at 145 pounds, because Onama is coming off that crazy
148 pounds, Mike.
Yeah, I know, because Mowgli missed weight, but David Onama gets 30% of the shekels, and now he gets to fight at his natural weight class at 145 or 148. So I'm very excited to see him back towards his natural weight class. And we'll have our UFC Vegas 48 People's Pre-Fight Show at 3:30 Eastern. We'll talk all things UFC prior to the event, answer all of your questions. So we'll dive a little deeper into the UFC event tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Prelims kick off at 4 Eastern, main card at 7 Eastern, and the full card is on ESPN Plus.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now, let us move ahead to Bellator 274. And look, I get it. Again, compared to some of the other Bellator cards coming up with the title fights in the mix, some of the names that are on them, not the greatest card on paper to the casual eyeballs. However, again, and maybe I'm the prince of positivity this weekend, some good fights, some interesting prospects, some interesting storylines to keep an eye on. We may even get the feel-good moment of the weekend on this Bellator card. And the main event is a big one in the welterweight division between Logan Storley and Neiman Gracie. And for those who missed BTL yesterday, Jose Young, you made a compelling argument that on the Jose Young's high-level martial arts competition scale, this might be the best main event of the entire weekend. Why is that for people who may have missed that speech you made?
Well, Neiman Gracie is obviously, like, his last name is Gracie, so, like, his family is the very definition of royalty in the sport of mixed martial arts, the UFC, Bellator, whatever you want to call it. Like, you have a last name Gracie that carries a lot of weight, and a lot of people's fans specifically kind of paint Neiman Gracie as the best overall MMA fighter, maybe not the best jiu-jitsu practitioner or anything like that. But, you know, he's got, like, lately he's been willing to let his hands go. I think he did an interview with our own Guillermo Cruz where he said, like, oh, now I know why people like to throw hands, because it's a lot of fun. So if he's getting that much better at his hands, plus he's obviously Gracie, so he's a wizard on the ground with his Gracie jiu-jitsu. A lot of people, like, I remember I interviewed Josh Thompson during that welterweight Grand Prix. I did a preview show. I think it was before the Lima MVP 1 fight. And I asked him, I go, is the winner of this, should the winner of this fight be the favorite to win the Grand Prix? And he said, no, it should probably be Neiman Gracie because he's a problem. So if anything, Bellator at that time was painting him as like this big world beater. I still think he's very obviously super talented. He's only lost to Jason Jackson, who's beating everyone right now. And Rory McDonald, who at the time was the welterweight champion of the world. So those are the only two losses he had. And then obviously, Logan Storley is an incredibly high-level wrestler. I think he was like a 3- or 4-time All-American wrestler out of Minnesota, which is like a factory of like Brock Lesnar went there. So if you're an All-American wrestler, you're obviously an incredible wrestler. If you come through through hell that is the University of Minnesota wrestling mats, you're even better in my mind. So, and there's obviously that weird dynamic between American wrestling versus jiu-jitsu. What's better? I know Brian Ortega has talked about it a lot. It's just kind of like, it's not a heated rivalry, but it's kind of like for bragging rights. So if you're just a fan of high level MMA, high level grappling, high level just mixed martial arts, I'm going to go out. I'm not even going on a limb. I'll die on this hill. This is the best main event of the weekend if you just like martial arts. It doesn't have the cachet or the big names or the drawing power. Just fighting, this is the best main event.
AK, Neiman Gracie, minus 160 favorite. Logan Storley, the comeback on him is plus 140, according to our friends at DraftKings. And like Jose mentioned, Neiman has those two losses. Those are within his last four fights, the Rory McDonald loss, the Jason Jackson loss, who is, you know, Jason Jackson, you could argue he could be fighting for the title right now. But in his last fight, Neiman's out there going out there knocking guys out, AK. Mark Leminger, who is a tough out, and Neiman Gracie ran him over with his hands, with his strikes, which was pretty cool to see. Logan Storley, on the other hand, gives the current champion Yaroslav Amosov a very tough fight, a fight a lot of people thought Storley won. So your thoughts on this Bellator main event, and who do you think takes this one, AK? We'll get your opinion on the fight, and then we'll get your pick as well.
Yeah, I'm certainly leaning towards Neiman Gracie. I do think he's a very high level welterweight. I believe at one point he was ranked in our global rankings, or maybe after he beat he beat John Fitch. He was up there. Maybe it was before the Rory fight, or we weren't doing our rankings yet. Either way, you could have made a case he was kind of a top 15, top 20 welterweight before he took a couple of his losses. I love any fighter, obviously, that has like an A-plus skill they can rely on. Yes, it's great that he's become more comfortable with his hands, but anytime you've got that Gracie jiu-jitsu, that ability to grapple and that strength on the ground, I'm always going to like your chance. Now, Logan Storley, of course, also has an A-plus skill. One of the best wrestlers in Bellator, maybe in the entire welterweight division. He's just a grinder of the highest order. Like you said, against the current champion, Amosov, that's a style that worked really well. Amosov is also a wrestler. So, you know, someone who could match him on that level led to a very close fight and creates that option where on paper, I would say, Bellator would want Neiman Gracie to win, you know, set him up with the winner of the Amosov MVP fight that's coming up in May. But Mike, you're right though. If Storley should happen to pull off the upset on Saturday, there's a storyline there with getting that rematch with Amosov. MVP would be a fresh matchup, and then you get the wrestler striker thing going on. So I'm leaning towards Gracie. I think he'll – Storley's really tough, but I think Gracie can submit him. I'll go Gracie by submission, and I think that's what Bellator is hoping for as well. But, I mean, a Storley win is not the worst thing – certainly not the worst thing to happen to him. But this is a case where I think – Bellator is really hoping their matchmaking sets up, Gracie as the number one contender for that May championship fight. That's how I would look at it. But Storley is certainly a very, very live underdog.
Jose, who you got? And it is a 5-rounder, the first non-title, non-tournament 5-round main event in Bellator history. A new era, Jose. Who gets it done?
Yeah, I was looking at this yesterday and I didn't really get into it in BTL. It's tough, man, because Logan Storley he's an incredibly talented wrestler. You know who's a better wrestler than him in college? Ed Ruth, like multiple time national champion. And Neiman Gracie submitted him. But then you know who Ed Ruth also beat? Jason Jackson by split decision. And then you know who beat Neiman Gracie? Rory McDonald, who just kind of smushed him for 5 rounds. And like he kind of escaped all of his submission attempts and just kind of out grappled him. So this is tough. I think the 5 rounds obviously favors Neiman Gracie. So 5 rounds with a Gracie, it's a lot of time. to open up submissions. I haven't seen if Logan Storley can, you know, grind out a high level grappler like that over five rounds. So I'll just go Neiman Gracie. Just the evidence is there. Like, there's just more data on him. I think this is incredibly, like, it's 51-49 in my mind. And that 1% that tips it to Gracie is just, we have more data to go off. Like, Logan Storley might be able to do this for five rounds. I just don't know. So Neiman Gracie, I'm going to say maybe fourth, third round submission. Because again, 25 minutes with a high level grappler who's also pretty decent on the hands right now. It's a lot of time to get submitted. Neiman Gracie, third or fourth round submission.
I'm going to go with the upset here just to be different. Mm-hmm. Give me Logan Storley. I certainly get why Gracie is the favorite. I think Storley is a very smart fighter. And the thing about Logan Storley is he doesn't take a lot of unnecessary risks in that cage. He trains with a great team. He trains with the Robbie Lawlers and the Michael Chandlers and the Gilbert Burnses of the world. And oh yeah, he does train with Jason Jackson too. So he's probably got a whole bunch of different looks, whole bunch mm-hmm. of different insight on Neiman Gracie in this fight. I'm kind of like, I kind of disagree with you, Jose. And again, we don't have any five rounds sort of insight on this because we haven't seen it. I think if Neiman can't put him away early, it could be a very long night for him. And I predict it will be. So give me Logan Storley via unanimous decision. I don't think it's going to be a fight we're going to be remembering all that fondly at the end of it. But I think it's if you're a high level martial arts fan, I think you will find something good with this fight. But the casual audience is going to be like, meh, whatever. But I like the fight and it should be interesting. Rest of the main card, co-main event. We have Andrei Koreshkov versus Chance Rencounter. Georgi Karakanian versus Adam Piccolotti. We got a very interesting heavyweight matchup between Syed Salma and Davion Franklin. I really like the matchmaking here. Davion Franklin called for this fight. He gets it. And I confirmed a little while ago from Bellator PR that the returning Brennan Ward, what a story this guy has. He will also be on the main card against Brandon Bell. And so we've got some good prelims too. We got Mandel Nalo versus Nick Nyquil Brown. That's a fun fight. We get Aviv Ghazali back. Dude's breaking submission records left and right. Jaylon Bates is back, teammate of AJ McKee. Even Deanna Bennett versus Justine Quiche is on the prelims of this card. Each fight on an island, Jose. Not too shabby. What's the low-key storyline for this card for you?
I mean, the story is Brandon Ward, because like I said on BTL yesterday, just the fact that that man is alive in 2021 is just a great story in general, because he was about as low as you can get with what he was dealing with, like with the law and substance abuse and his whole personal situation. Like, if you look at his MMA record, there's obviously a massive gap between fights. And that was because he was in jail and dealing with a lot of things. So, A, the fact that he's even making the walk, like win or lose, I think Brandon Ward is a winner right there. Because, again, I am just so happy that that man is just alive in general. I was about 10 feet away from when he took a knee to the face from Paul Daly. And after that, I was like, oh, that might be the end for his chances in Bellator. But good on you, Brandon Ward. Like, I know he's done a lot of interviews with people, so his story is out there, so I don't need to rehash it. But I'm just happy that that man is fighting again. But if you're talking about, like, the fight game, Andrei Koreshkov, former champion, has only lost to four people in his entire MMA career. Again, former title challenger. And I'm pretty sure that was a split off the top, if I remember off the top of my head, one of the better strikers in MMA. Douglas Lima, former champion. And I'm pretty sure he lost to Ben Askren too way back in the day. The man is very underappreciated in this welterweight landscape. I know he's probably getting up there in age. Chance Rencounter, former UFC fighter. I just think Andrei Koreshkov, I think he's going to just smash Chance. I think Koreshkov is a monster. I interviewed Benson Anderson for his last fight, and he was reflecting on his Bellator run because he wants another title shot and this and that. He goes, man, Andrei Koreshkov just beat the hell out of me. Like, he beat me up bad. And that was Benson Henderson's words. So I think that man is a monster, and I'm very, very much looking forward to watching him fight again. I was bummed out for him that he didn't get to fight on that Moscow card.
Yeah, that's a good pick right there. I like everything you just said there. In fact, the first event I ever covered in MMA media was that Koreshkov versus Benson Henderson fight. And yeah, that was a wild one. AK, what's your under-the-radar storyline for this Bellator card?
I just want to say, I like this card from this is a professional MMA card. I know that's not a sexy thing. That's not a sexy way to describe it. But this is, I'm saying, relative to what we were saying about the UFC Vegas 48 card. The UFC Vegas 48 card mostly has, again, we're kind of going with that, well, anything can happen. It could be fun. Like that kind of element to it. This Bellator card, for better or for worse, I think you know what you're going to get. You know what you're getting from Andrei Korishkov fight. You know what you're getting from a Georgi Karakanyan fight. Brandon Ward, we don't know. We haven't seen him in a while. But like I said, that storyline is so exciting. It's got its own intrigue. And then you have some guys that they are bringing up the right way on the prelims, like Mandel Nalo, Aviv Ghazali, and some other names. So I like that. It feels like there was real thought into how this card was constructed. Again, it's missing some big like marquee name or title fight at the top. But you know, Jose has spoken to the virtues of how good the main event is, just from a martial arts standpoint. So this is such a nice like professional card. I'm not like super excited about it, but I would probably, if I had to choose, by the way, full disclosure, I will be at a wedding on Saturday. Will not be watching any combat sports. Poor me.
Liar.
I'll be keeping up. 3MMAfighting.com. If I had to choose one card, I could only watch one. I mean, we live in an age you can watch two cards at once now. If I could only watch one, I actually probably would pick the Bellator card. Again, it just has more known properties. I mean, I know people like Parker Porter. You know, that's fine. But I mean, that's such a weird fight to have in a main card. Parker Porter, Alan Badeau. And the prelims was ravaged by injuries. You have a lot of people making their debuts on short notice. Christian Rodriguez, Jay Perrin. I can't believe Chad and Heliger and Jesse Strader is on a main card. You know, on a UFC card. Both guys are talented for sure, but should be like, you know, headlining regional cards and like that. So it's just a strange thing. Bellator, you're getting guys who, again, veterans or guys that they have been building up for the last couple of years, the names we've already mentioned. So I really like that about the Bellator card. And I would remind people in Canada, these Bellator cards are free on YouTube. So so if you're in Canada, you have no excuse not to tune in. It's very easy to watch. You can have it on your laptop. You can watch UFC. You can be watching BKFC. I don't know, whatever it is you're down with. So
there you go. See, AK, the whole card is a low-key banger for AK. And the prelims for Bellator 274, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can watch those over at MMAfighting.com. The main card on Showtime at 9 p.m. Eastern.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Koreshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Now, before we get to the people and the questions, AK mentioned that if you could only choose one between the UFC and Bellator, he would choose Bellator. But now we got another event in the mix, AK. We got Knuckle Mania 2. BKFC returns tomorrow night as well. Mike Perry makes his BKFC debut against Julian Lane in the main event. We got two title fights. Martin Brown challenging Luis Palomino for the lightweight title. We got a new women's flyweight champion about to be crowned. Britt Beltran takes on Christine Faria. It's a rematch. They first fought at BKFC 5. Faria got a win via doctor stoppage due to cuts. Kind of controversial. And then we'll also see, AK, the BKFC debut of former UFC title challenger Chad Mendez taking on Fames, AK. Knuckle Mania 1 got a lot of attention with the debut of Paige VanZant. We had Chris Lieben's retirement fight, went out with the knockout. We saw an absolute war between Taylor Starling and Charissa Segala. Can this one get near that same traction as last year's card did?
No, of course not. But I appreciate the effort. I mean, I just talked about how well constructed the Bellator card was. This is what the BKFC Knuckle Mania brand should be. You have recognizable UFC names at the top. UFC names that are recognizable not just for their experience in the UFC, but you know, they might be popular for other reasons. Of course, Paige VanZant has always had a strong like social media presence. She's a very, very popular fighter. So it made sense for her to headline that first Knuckle Mania. There was and that matchup had a lot of heat. Same with Mike Perry. I don't like the guy. You know, he's done a lot of bad stuff outside the cage. I can't stand him, but certainly he resonates with a combat sports crowd, even a casual combat sports crowd. And everyone knows Julian Lane as the Ultimate Fighter 16, let me bang bro guy. So this is the right card. You know, this is the right fight to like have main event like this. And then you have two title fights, which is great. Palomino Brown, BHB, Britton Hart Beltran, and Christine Ferreira, the rematch for a title fight. That's awesome. And then kind of weirdly flying under the radar, as you said, is like Chad Mendes making his BKFC debut. We don't know if he's sticking around in bare knuckle boxing, as we've found out this week. He's still technically contracted to the UFC. They're kind of just allowing him, you know, obviously they, I guess they don't want him to fight in the UFC anymore. And they're kind of, in this case, doing the right thing by saying, well, you want to go get your brains beaten in under someone else's watch. By all means, Chad, go for it. So that's going to be fun to see. We'll see how he takes to it. Even if he wins, is this something he's going to want to do again? You know, it might just be kind of a one-off thing, a good payday and a thing to say he did it. I know he has his own business. So hopefully financially he's doing all right and doesn't need to continue fighting if he doesn't want to, but good for him for having an interest in bare knuckle and going for it. So it's actually a really nice looking card. We got Jade Wong on Canada's Jade Wong on the prelims, which I like. It's like to see, and some great names too. Sawyer Dupuis, I don't know who that is, but that's a great name. Chevy Bridges, that's not a real person's name. That's a movie, like combat sports name. You know what I mean? That's like in Fighter. Oh, it's like Chevy Bridges. It's a great name though. And you got a lot of that in BKFC. So I'm excited for it in that respect. So I don't know if it would be my number one choice for the weekend. I will say now, guys, we do have a poll running. I said, what event are you most hyped for this weekend? UFC Vegas 48, comfortably ahead, 50%. BKFC, 34%. Bellator, 16%.
Wow. Jose, I know Mike Perry's in the main event. He's fighting Julian Lane. Perry pulls out a freaking baseball bat at the press conference, which is just, it is everything we thought it might be. But Chad Mendes, like AK said, makes his promotional debut, still under UFC contract, got the UFC's blessing to do this. And from all indications, I remember talking to Chad Mendes after he signed the contract. I don't think it's the UFC necessarily doesn't want to see Chad Mendes fight. Chad Mendes is just not going to fight until his contract is restructured and he's starting to make some money. And apparently he's making a lot of it to fight for BKFC. So obviously the fanfare is Mike Perry, but high level fighting competition, Jose, which debut are you more interested in? Is it Mike Perry's or is it Chad Mendes's?
I'm more interested in seeing Chad Mendes fight in general. I don't particularly care if it was MMA, boxing, bare knuckle boxing, because the man is one of the more unsung heroes of the featherweight division in the UFC. Like, yeah, he lost to Conor McGregor at UFC 189. I think that's kind of what a lot of people remember. And then he had that USADA suspension for a long time for like cream or something like that I guess had banned substances in it. But you can't tell me that Jose Aldo Chad Mendes 2 fight is not one of the best featherweight fights of all time. Like, that was unbelievable down in Brazil. Like, originally I remember that fight was going to be in LA, and then I think Aldo got hurt, so then they had to rebook it, and then it ended up being in Brazil. So Chad Mendes went from being able to fight in his home state to having to go to enemy territory. They flew Conor McGregor to Rio. And even Conor McGregor was like, well, you just can't hate on that fight. Like, Conor couldn't even hate on that fight. So I'm just excited to see Chad Mendes do anything. The man is a spectacular fighter. He's one of the better featherweights in all of MMA. I think his last loss was to Volkanovski, right? That was kind of the passing of the torch. Like, that was like Volkanovski's first test to see if he was a title contender. And now he's 2-0 over Max Holloway, who a lot of people consider the best featherweight of all time. So Chad Mendes only loses to the best of the best in MMA. Frank Yeager, Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo, Alex Volkanovski. I'm very excited to see him fight. But I know my Twitter is going to go absolutely berserk when Mike Perry does anything. So I'm sure I'll know when he's about to fight.
There are actually betting lines on this event. They're hard to find oftentimes. Mike Perry, like an hour ago, was a minus 450 favorite. Now he's a minus 325. So some money coming in on Let Me Bang, bro. Mendes, massive favorite.
I think Mike Perry just eats Julian Lane. How many knockout wins does Julian Lane have? One? Two in his career? Let Me Bang, bro, cannot knock a dude out. Perry knocks a lot of guys out. Also, Luis Palomino's fighting on this card, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Like, if you ask me or Sean Alshadi, we were there. What's the greatest fight you've ever seen Justin Gaethje partake in? It's Justin Gaethje, Luis Palomino, 1 or 2. That was chaos for like as long as it lasts. And like 300 people were in the audience. Like, I remember we were watching that fight. I'm like, this is great. I feel real gross that not enough people are watching this right now, because a lot of brain cells left in that ring.
Yes, that is a pick'em according to the odds. -115s for both Palomino and Martin Brown. Britton Hart is a +200 dog to Christine Faria. That should be a fun fight. Hart's really never in boring fights. That Pearl Gonzalez fight is absolutely ridiculous. If you haven't seen that, go on BKFC's YouTube page and watch it because it's an absolute barn burner. But the BKFC weigh-ins, you can watch them at 6 p.m. Eastern on MMAfighting.com. Prelims tomorrow at 6:30. That's on the Bare Knuckle app, BKFC's YouTube page for free. And then the main card, $4.99. If you want to buy this event, it's like $4.99. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Bare Knuckle app, or you could order it on Fight TV. So let's go to the peeps. We got a few minutes left. Let's go to the peeps and see what they're thinking this weekend, what they're excited about.
Oh, and we didn't, by the way, we didn't mention tonight, PFL Challengers debut. We were only talking about Saturday's events. PFL Challengers series debuts tonight with the light heavyweights on Fubo TV, 9 p.m. I think we have that in Canada. Canadians watching, I believe we also have Fubo TV in Canada, so we should be okay. I believe it's international, but 9 o'clock Fubo TV. I think it's free to sign up. Guy, who's down with Fubo TV here, guys? Mike Heck, you're a big Fubo TV guy, right?
I don't think it's free. I think there's a trial. So if you want to watch the first event, it's a 7-day trial.
I can comfortably say I don't even. You could be saying words that don't exist right now, and I'd be like, "Yeah."
Listen, the Challenger Series starts tonight, guys. There'll be 8 events, okay, and 8 fighters competing for a PFL contract. One person per show will receive a PFL contract, either developmental or a chance to compete in the upcoming.
Was it you that was weird. That? Was it you that interviewed Tyron Woodley for that? AK?
No. I interviewed one of the fighters fighting next weekend.
Oh, okay.
Next Friday.
I saw Tyron Woodley wants to find like the Odell Beckham Jr. of MMA at like PFL contender or whatever. I'm like,
what does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
Odell Beckham Jr. is a very popular, stylish, and incredibly talented wide receiver for the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. I would say one of the 5 most popular football players in the NFL. And he's also has a wide reach in the fashion world and hip hop world too. So he kind of has his fingers.
Is he one of the 5 best or just popular?
I would say he's one of the 5 best. His talent to popularity is on par. He's incredibly talented and incredibly popular.
Okay, cool.
One of the more marketable athletes out there.
Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
I would
agree.
No.
So he's good and marketable.
He's the one, Casey, obviously you watch the Super Bowl. He's the one that blew his ACL out of the Super Bowl.
I saw that. Yeah.
He's so good. So good at football.
I know very little about football, but I have heard of that gentleman's name.
Exactly.
Mahomes. Like I've heard of them outside of football. So
those are the 2 most marketable athletes in football.
Oh, speaking of football, where is it? I lost it.
You guys said BKFC is $4.99 on Fight or on another thing? Another
good question.
Because I'm seeing $19.99, but I'm also in Canada. Keep that in mind. So I believe you guys are right. I think you guys have the right price and. I think we might get a weird Canada price, so I apologize.
Yeah, I mean, BKFC has been advertising from day one that it's $4.99, so hopefully...
Okay, $4.99 USD.
All right, first comments from Mr. Zahn, and with the great avatar, and it is great being Super Bowl champs. For most of LA, I was just aware we had a football team, so it was great that we're champions too, so... go LA.
You did it. Casey, you did it.
We did it. We did it.
You did it.
Yeah, I think LA went a good like 2 weeks to fight the championship. So it's been a long time.
It's so tough. Yeah.
Get him next year, Buffalo. Get him next year, Bengals. You'll do it. Yeah. All right. I'm seeing a lot of positivity for Bare Knuckle actually in the comments. Sure. A lot of people are excited.
They booked the cards right.
Yeah.
Look, this is going to be BKFC is going to be the most fun event of the 3. There's no doubt about it. It'll be the most circusy, but in like the best possible way, and maybe sometimes in the worst possible way. But yes, BKFC is the most fun event of the 3 cards. There's no arguing that.
Yeah.
Does Johnny Walker need to go back to his wild style to have a chance to win this fight, Jose?
A chance to win this fight? I don't think he has to go for a chance. I mean, at the end of the day, I consider MMA a sport. I know a lot of people don't, probably some people on this site, but like wins and losses matter. And the best way to keep your job is to win. So if Johnny Walker just wants to win, I don't think he has to. But if he wants to keep his job coming off a loss, he probably should. Like we all said, an exciting fight, win or lose, will let you keep your job. A win will keep your job. So if you just want to go out there and just throw crazy nonsense, by all means, do it, Johnny Walker. I love it. But go out there and win first and foremost.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, it doesn't matter what style you fight as long as you win. I mean, Michelle Pajeda is one of the biggest examples of a guy who looked – the Michelle Pajeda that debuted in the UFC and that fought before the UFC is very different than the Michelle Pajeda that you see now, Demolidor. I mean, he loves still doing the off-the-cage, a Superman punch, probably one of his lower-risk moves, I guess. Rolling Thunder, he loves throwing Rolling Thunder. But it feels like weirdly more calculated now, or he does it in fights that he's already – maybe kind of already has an advantage. It used to be, it was just balls to the wall as soon as he like came out of the gate. He's just throwing all that stuff. So, and in his case, he's been successful. He's been racking up wins now. So, you don't see anyone asking if he should go back to his wild style. Right. That Thiago Santos fight left a bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths, as it should have. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who, as that fight dragged on, were hoping he would revert to the older Johnny Walker style, like mid fight, just like, oh, come on, he has to know he's down, just start throwing wild stuff. But that's the thing at this level of MMA. You do have a game plan and you kind of just have to stick to it. We don't know what game plan he's going to have against Jamahal Hill. Jamahal Hill, a very different fighter than Thiago Santos. So maybe you will see Johnny Walker open up a little bit more from the beginning or depending on how the fight goes. But I don't think he necessarily has to say, oh, I'm going to fight wild because, you know, my more conservative style last time produced such a poor result. I think he's smarter now. Again, it's a different camp. He's just going to adjust to what Jamahal Hill does and stick to what his game plan is going in. And I don't see him fighting too wild. Jamahal Hill is so dangerous. I don't think you want to just go in there and just start trading with him and just make it a 50-50 fight. I think you have to have some sort of plan. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think he has to go back to being wild.
Yeah, I think it's probably to his detriment if he does. I think Jamahal Hill will put him away quick if he does do that. And I kind of feel like Johnny Walker will do that. And I think the result will speak for itself, but we'll see. I think his best chance to win is to not do that, to do the complete opposite of that. And that's probably his best chance to win.
Quick question. Is the main event in the UFC, has that been upgraded to 5 rounds or is it still 5 rounds? Yeah. It is 5 rounds.
It's 5.
That almost seems not fair.
Are they getting paid more is the question.
Johnny Walker did say they're getting a little pay bump.
Okay.
But yeah. I'm wondering, because actually the Walker Santos fight is one of the few cards I just did not see because I was out of the country at that time. Why was that fight so everyone? Because I looked online, I was like, oh, I'll watch it if it's awesome. But then everyone was kind of poo pooing it. What made it so bad? And why is all the blame on Johnny Walker? I don't see any criticism for Santos. I'm just kind of curious because I didn't watch the fight at all.
Thiago Santos is the
and it was a five round. It was a five round fight. Maybe Johnny Walker just kind of sucks in 5 round fights too.
No, it's just whoever lost was the one that was going to get more of the crap, and it happened to be Johnny Walker. Yeah. Thiago Santos is a better striker than him. It was very evident in that fight that Thiago Santos is a better striker, and he was clearly winning. It wasn't like a close fight. It's like he clearly won the fight. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the guy who lost got more of the crap. And again, I think people wanted to see, as I said, like had hoped, like, man, why isn't he going for broke? And he knows he's losing. And again, that's much easier said than done when you're watching mm-hmm. from home and when you're standing across from Thiago Santos, who could knock your ass out in any second. So, but yeah, I think there was a reason. It was somewhat fair why he got the majority of the criticism.
I just find it interesting because I think of just Israel Adesanya and fans criticize him for winning boring, but we criticize Walker for losing boring. I just think it's a weird dynamic in the sport.
I think a lot of the criticism was like by round three, we all kind of got a sense that like Johnny Walker is very clearly losing mm-hmm. and he didn't make any adjustment at all. So like at some point your game plan is just not working. I don't care if it's boring or not boring. Like what you are doing is not working and he just kept doing it. That's where my frustration came from in that fight. Like Thiago Santos had no reason to change his game plan because he was very comfortably winning. It's not broke, don't fix it. Johnny Walker's like, this is broken. I'm just going to keep smashing it until it's shattered and I'm just never going to be able to get used again.
All right. Thank you very much.
If you had no idea who Skelly and Striegel were, who would you pick to win a fight based off their physique? Also, will Skelly weighing in late affect his performance? probably not. And Striegel would clearly win the fight based on physique, but that's why they've
Skelly was hitting some poses though on the scale. He was hitting some poses this morning.
Skelly is a pro. Like he's also like a fighter's fighter. Like remember Casey and I were in Denver when he had that weird quote unquote, I don't even think it's a loss anymore, that fight against Bobby Moffitt.
Yeah, they get overturned.
But then after he actually and talked to the media after, and he was like hot, and he goes, I want this overturned unless that means Bobby Moffitt loses his win purse. I want Bobby didn't do anything. So if he gets to keep his win bonus, then I want him to keep the win. But if it doesn't change anything, I want him to overturn. So Chad Skelly is the man. Like that guy won me over a lot after that scrum.
I'm a Skelly fan.
For sure. Yeah. And weighing in late doesn't mean anything. He's a pro. He knows he's on weight. He doesn't. He could have shown up earlier if he wanted to, probably. But he's probably just so comfortably on weight, just show up whenever, get some extra sleep.
I think he does a lot at Safford MMA too, like because that's where he's at, right? I think he does a lot like at the gym specifically, like you know, not as coaching, but like a lot of stuff around the gym.
So I'm going back and trying to remember, because I mean it wasn't a memorable fight between Santos and Walker, but I'm going back and trying to remember because I wrote the live blog for that. I had it 2-2 heading into the fifth round. And then Santos won the fifth round. I scored a 48-47. I'm trying to remember what the judges scored it. All three scored a 48-47. So it was a close I think everyone scored it the exact same way. Round one for Walker, round four for Walker, and then the rest of Santos. But it was just single shots. It was just single shots.
Wait,
that's all it was.
Because the way I hear about the fight, I thought it was like a 50-44, 50-43 fight. And it turns out it was just one round made the difference. That's just maybe expectations for Walker are just not – I don't know. It's just I just find the discourse weird.
Okay, so unique. Here's why people gave it such crap. Johnny Walker through five rounds landed 48 significant strikes. Thiago Santos through five rounds landed 44 significant strikes. So that's it. The total, those are the total strikes. So in five rounds between two fighters, we had 92 significant strikes landed in 25 minutes. It was just single shots. It was just that fight. Like that's it.
It was just a bad fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Not even a lot thrown either. 235 total between both fighters over five rounds. All right. So it just wasn't an aesthetically pleasing fight.
Yeah, gotcha.
All right, I'll take one, maybe two more.
All right, let me pick some good ones. Let's talk about Jim Miller.
Ooh. Oh, 100%. Yes, great point. That was also the fight where Johnny Walker promised to take Thiago Santos to hell. Remember that big promo we cut?
Well, I mean, it sounded like it was hell to watch.
It definitely was, yeah.
Yeah, so.
he took it all.
I think Johnny Walker got it.
Shout out to Shaheen Al-Shadi. Matt Maggio, what chance do you give Jim Miller on making it to UFC 300? So it could be on 100, 200, 300. Yes, that is his goal. What's that going to be, 2024? Is it 24, 25?
End of 2024, I think it'll be. Because 272 is this month coming up in March. So the next March will be assuming they keep the kind of same kind of scale, 284, and then the year after that, 296 in March. So yeah, by the end of 2024, somewhere in the second half of 2024, we should be getting 300.
I give it 100%. 100%.
He'll make it.
He'll be there.
I think if Jim Miller gets the proper matchmaking, like the matchmaking he has the last couple of fights, if they don't throw him against, you know the Gamrots, I guess, of the up and comers. Mm-hmm. You can make the
match. Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah. Here's how many combined fights Jim Miller's past three opponents combined UFC fights Jim Miller's past three UFC opponents have had. Two. Two. His 37th fight was against Joe Selecki, who was making his third UFC appearance. And then Eric Gonzalez, UFC debut for fight number 38. And now Nicholas Mota, UFC debut for fight number 39. So I love it. Like, I wish that this is how more veterans could be booked. And it's not like Gonzalez and Mota are walkovers. I think Mota is actually favored. Am I not mistaken? I believe Mota is favored to beat Jim Miller on Saturday.
Minus 180.
Minus, whoa, so a little more than slight. But Tapology, 61% Miller. So, I mean, this is a good matchup then. The fans see it one way, the oddsmakers see it another way. But again, 39 UFC fights to none. And this is the second time that's happened. So, right. Wonderful matchmaking. He's definitely going to make it.
He'll make it. Yeah. Two more comments, two more questions. This one's just kind of confusing me, so I just want to hear the answer.
Chase Rencontre debuts for Bellator in their co-main event. Let's see how AK feels about that. I think he's referring to the UFC calling this
a co-main event.
Not a co-main event.
No, look, at least Khorish. No, listen. Chance Rencontre, former UFC guy. I mean, whatever. Khorishkov, as Jose said, is a former Bellator champion. He's 24-4. He's been one of their faces of the welterweight division for like the last 5 years. That's a name.
Longer than that.
That's a name you can throw in a co-main event spot. So I have no issue with Bellator calling that a co-main event. And it was supposed to be someone else too. Chance Rencontre is replacing, someone who was going to be making their debut, but a tough guy. His name escapes me at the moment. Excuse me. Berkhamov or something like that. But a guy who coming with a bit of hype. Yeah. But either way, even if it wasn't, it doesn't matter. That's the reason you have guys like Khorishkov around. You can put them in there with another veteran. You can put them in there with a newcomer. Like really, let me put it this way. If you told me Jim Miller, Nicholas Moda was the main event, the co-main event, I'd be like, oh yeah, sounds a little bit more like a co-main event type fight. Not that it really matters on a card that's light on names, but these things matter to me. You cannot just throw anybody in the second last fight and call it a co-main event. So I think Bellator has an actual co-main event. I don't think the UFC Vegas card does.
And our final question.
Which single fight is the most exciting and must watch this weekend, according to you? I think Jose kind of gave his pick, but I don't know if that's just on your high level martial arts scale. But Jose, if you could only pick one fight this weekend, what are you picking?
Probably the Bellator main event, just because like that's just an intriguing stylistic matchup for me. But it's not the most by no means the most exciting. But for me, I want to watch the Bellator main event.
Okay.
I know it's probably going to be a first round finish, so it's weird to call it like a, you know, the most exciting must watch fight, but I think it'll be the result that most of us are talking about after the weekend's over. I think Buckley and Al-Hassan is going to give us exactly what he wants. Someone's getting knocked out in the first round, and I think it's going to be absolutely nuts. I think it'll be Al-Hassan that goes down, but he only loses by, I think, decision. He got knocked out in the first round once, so there we go. So Al-Hassan is, if you're predicting a first round knockout, it's a pretty safe bet, and I'm going with Buckley this time. So that to me is the one that if I had to pick one, I could only watch one fight, I would pick that one.
Is it because of his cornerman?
We don't need to talk about estimable Dale Brown. It's Dale Brown, right? Dale?
Dust. Detroit.
That's Dale Brown. Okay. Commander.
Okay. Commander. Respect.
Oh my goodness.
Show some respect.
Respect.
I'll go with the BKFC main event. Why the hell not? That's just going to be insane. So we'll go with that.
Is Perry Lane the main event or is it the title fight?
Yeah.
Perry Lane's the main event.
Oh, it is the main event. Yeah.
Cool. I'll go with that one. Although I think Britton Hart and Christine Faria is going to be an absolute war.
Thank you for bringing that up. There's a lot of good fights this weekend, and I'm very excited about that fight too.
All right. That is an excellent fight. And for those wondering, because we always bring this up, let me just pull it up real quick before we say goodbye. Biggest betting favorites on the UFC card, Jonathan Pierce, -380. Christian Rodriguez making his UFC debut at +290. Mario Bautista, -365, taking on Jay Perrin, +280. I'll tell you what, that's going to be a banger. That's going to be a really fun fight. I believe that's going to be the first fight on the card. Jay's good and probably should have been in the UFC a little while ago. And he was preparing for a fight anyways, so it's not like he was rolling off the couch to fight Mario Bautista. He was preparing to defend his CES title in a couple of weeks, so he was ready to go. So that should be a great way to kick off this card.
Yeah, and Mike, I always tell people don't bet on MMA, but those are the kind of odds that like Mario Bautista and Jonathan Pierce would not get, or I say they're like they shouldn't normally. They wouldn't be favored against anyone like 2 or 3 to 1 in the UFC. So right, is that a crazy thing? Yeah, it's just because these guys are coming in on. Yeah, these guys are coming in on short notice. So again, I don't believe in betting on MMA. But if you're going to throw some underdog money out there, you can probably do a lot worse than Jay Perrin and Christian Rodriguez, whoever else stepping in on short notice.
Oh, sorry. Well, I just saw this. Oh, sorry. You're going to say something, Mike?
No, go ahead. Yeah, if you want to.
I just saw this. Thank you, Mr. Grant. I put a lot of work into my workout playlist.
What are some songs on there?
Oh, it's got all the jams. It's the Punch Kick Grapple Work playlist. It's about 90 hours long, and it covers everything from like Whitney Houston to Sepultura. It has it all. So DM me. DM me. Find me online. I'll send you the link to the playlist.
Tweet it. Once out there. Tweet it.
Yeah, I'll tweet the playlist. All right.
There you go. All right. Well, one thing you can bet on is we will be back tomorrow at 3:30 Eastern to answer all of your questions, more of your questions, ahead of UFC Vegas 48. And we're going to have a very busy day tomorrow with that event, Bellator 274, and, of course, Knuckle Mania 2. And we'll have all your coverage over at MMAfighting.com. Until then, everybody, for AK, for Jose, I am Mike Hack. Big shout out to Casey on the ones and twos. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
Have a happy wedding, AK.
Thank you. On my birthday, no less. Just kidding.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.